Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 13, Brahma Stealing the Boys and the Calves. Text number 39. Naite Suresha Rishayo na Chaite Tvam Eva Ba Shisha Bid Ashraye Pi. Sarvam Pritak Tvam Nigamat Kitam Vi Vadeti. Utena Vritam Prabhuna Balo Yavait Na Not Ate These Boys Suraisha, the best of the demigods. Rishaya, great sages. Na, not. Cha, and. Ete, these calves. Tvam, you, Krishna. Eva, alone. Basi, are manifesting. Isha, O Supreme Controller, Bid Ashraye, in the existence of varieties of difference, Api, even, Sarvam, everything, Pritak, existing, Tvam, you, Krishna, Nigamat, briefly, Katam, how, Vada, please explain, Iti, thus, Yuktena, having been requested by Baladev, Ritam, the situation, Prabhuna, having been explained by Lord Krishna, Bala, Baladev, Avait, understood. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Lord Baladev said, O Supreme Controller, these boys are not great demigods, as I previously thought. They are these, nor are these calves, great sages like Narada. Now I can see that you alone are manifesting yourself in all varieties of difference. Although one, you are existing in the different forms of the calves and boys. Please explain this to me. Please briefly explain this to me. Having thus been requested by Lord Baladev, Krishna explained the whole situation, and Baladev understood it. Purport. Inquiring from Krishna about the actual situation, Lord Balaram said, My dear Krishna, in the beginning I thought that all these cows, calves, and coward boys were either great sages and saintly persons or demigods. But at the present it appears that they're actually your expansions. They are all you. You yourself are playing as the calves and cows and boys. What is the mystery of this situation? Where have these other calves and cows and boys gone? And why are you expanding yourself as the cows, calves, and boys? Will you kindly tell me what is the cause? At the request of Balaram, Krishna briefly explained the whole situation, how the calves and the boys were stolen by Brahma, and how he was concealing the incident by expanding himself so that people would not know that the original cows, calves, and boys were missing. Balaram understood, therefore, that this was not Maya, but Krishna's opulence. Krishna has all opulences, and this was another opulence of Krishna. At first, Lord Balaram said, I thought that these boys and calves were a display of the great power of the sages, of the power of great sages like Narada. But now I see that all these boys and calves are you. After inquiring from Krishna, Lord Balaram understood that Krishna himself had become many. That the Lord can do this is stated in the Brahma Samhita, 5:33. Advaitam achutam anadim anantarupam. Although he is one, he can expand himself into so many forms. According to the Vedic version, eka vahu swam. He can expand himself into many thousands of millions, but still remain one. In that sense, everything is spiritual, because everything is an expansion of Krishna. That is, everything is an expansion either of Krishna himself or of his potency. Because the potency is non-different from the potent. The potency and the potent are one. Shakti, Shakti Matura, Abheda. The Mayavadis, however, say, Chit, Achit, Samanvaya. Spirit and matter are one. This is a wrong conception. Spirit, Chit, is different from matter, Achit, as explained by Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita 7:4-5. Bhumir apanalo vayu kamano buddhevacha ahankara itiyame vina prakriti ashtada apareyam itastvanyam prakritim vidime param jiva bhutam mahavaho yedam daryate jagat. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, altogether these eight comprise my separated material energies. But besides this inferior nature, O mighty armed Arjuna, there is a superior energy of mine, which consists of all living entities who are struggling with material nature and are sustaining the universe. Spirit and matter cannot be made one, for actually they are superior and inferior energies. Yet the Mayavadis or Advaitavadis try to make them one. This is wrong. Although spirit and matter ultimately come from the same source, they cannot be made one. For example, there are many things that come from our bodies, but although they come from the same source, they cannot be made one. We should be careful to note that although the supreme source is one, the emanations from this source should be separately regarded as inferior and superior. The difference between Mayavada and Vaishnava philosophies is that Vaishnava philosophy recognizes this fact. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy, therefore, is called Chintya Veda Veda, simultaneously one and different. For example, fire and heat cannot be separated. For where there is fire, there is heat. And where there is heat, there is fire. Nonetheless, although we cannot touch fire, heat we can tolerate. Therefore, although they are one, they are different. Lord Balaram said, or Lord Baladev said, O Supreme Controller, these boys are not great demigods as I previously thought, nor are these calves great sages like Narada. Nor can I see that you alone are, I can see that you alone are manifesting yourself in all varieties of indifference. Although one, you are existing in the different forms of calves and boys. Please briefly explain this to me. Having thus been requested by Lord Baladev, Krishna explained the whole situation, and Baladev understood it. It seems that it's not so easy to understand the difference between matter and spirit, otherwise Prabhupada wouldn't go over it again and again. Because, generally speaking, because we don't understand it, we just take it that we do understand it. That it's a simple thing to understand. That there is something called matter, which this body is made out of, including the subtle matter of mind, intelligence, and false ego. And then we have the gross material body made out of earth, water, fire, air, and ether. And then inside the body, there's the soul, ourselves, who are conscious. And then there is the Supreme Soul, who is the source of both the inferior and the superior energies. Generally, those who are materialists, they only are conscious of one energy, the material energy. Although they themselves obviously must be conscious of themselves, but they identify themselves as the material energy. Of course, that means that their intelligence is faulty, because if they were the material energy, then why isn't the material energy conscious like they are? In other words, if the soul was just another, if the soul, this body, the soul was the body and the body was not different from the material energy, then why doesn't the material energy, why isn't the material energy conscious? In other words, if by a combination of matter, the body becomes conscious, well, what is that combination of matter that makes something conscious? Why don't we get together all the elements of the body, put them together like in Frankenstein, put some electricity through it, and it becomes alive? It's not possible. No one can do it. On the other hand, even after when the soul leaves the body, the same elements are there. At least the same gross elements are there, and yet the body is not alive. So Prabhupada would say, what is the missing element? You add it to the body and the body becomes alive again. If death means that some element is missing, because it's the same body, but something is missing, so why not find out what that missing element is, inject it in the body and bring it back to alive again? But the scientists can't, so-called scientists can't do that. Nor do they know that the body, what makes the body alive is not material, it's spiritual. Similarly, in the universe, what makes the universe moving is not the material energy, it's the super soul within the material energy that empowers demigods like the sun to move the sun planet in its orbit. Or actually, maybe the sun god is not even in charge of that, Krishna himself is moving the sun in its orbit. It's Chaksha Esha Savita Sakala Grahanam Rajasamasa Suramurti Shesha Teja Yas Yagaya Brahmati Sambrita Kala Chakra Govindam Adi Purushang Tamahang Bhujami. Therefore, Lord Brahma is worshipping Krishna because the sun, which is full of infinite effulgence, although it's so powerful, it's giving off unlimited heat and light, still it doesn't move one inch beyond its orbit. Now a materialist will say it's all by accident, but that's not an explanation. It means that they don't know how it's done, therefore they say it's by accident. Because if it was an accident, well, why don't just throw a bunch of fire in the air and see if it starts circulating around the earth? By accident. So they're not scientists, they're science fictionists. Science means that by observation they come up with a theory and then they test the theory, or they have a theory and they test the theory, and then by observation they conclude whether their theory was correct or not. But they have a theory, everything came out of nothing, but they've never proved it. There's no experiment where anything came out of nothing. So it's not science; it's scientism, fanaticism. But because the majority of people are dull, you can tell them anything long enough, and they'll believe it. If a scientist came out that the moon is actually made out of green cheese, and they proved it. After some time, and it's taught in the school textbooks, children of 3 years old or 5 years old find out that the moon is made out of green cheese, then they'll grow up thinking the moon is made out of green cheese. And if someone says something differently, then they'll become very disturbed. Well, you're anti-science. Because scientism is the new, is the actual religion of modern society. People believe, for instance, that there's such a thing as dinosaurs. And that everything that's is proof of evolution. That man came out of, I mean, originally there was dinosaurs and then they evolved into mammals, whatever. Eventually they were monkeys. But the fact is, they don't even have one dinosaur bone. All the big, big models, they have dinosaurs in the museums, they're made out of plaster. And the so-called findings of the bones that these archaeologists supposedly found, no one can see them. They're not allowed to see it. Only governmental authorities who are authorized can see these bones, so-called. They're never displayed to the public because they don't exist. They only exist in people's imagination. It's like they spend literally hundreds of billions of dollars to go to the moon, and the only thing they have to show for them are rocks. But they say that the rocks were stolen. And all the moon pictures they have, they all disappeared. Thousands of moon pictures, the originals, have all disappeared. And all the data that they were collecting during the so-called moon, it all disappeared. And people buy it. They actually believe such a fairy tale. Because how could our leaders lie to us? It's not possible. They just, you know, the 10,000 pictures that they supposedly took on the moon just vaporized. They became so disturbed that no one believed in them, they disappeared. They took perfect pictures, 10,000 perfect pictures from a camera they couldn't even see through. It was strapped to their abdomen. They were taking pictures, they all came out perfectly. Not only that, but some of the pictures they have, you can see in the visor of the space of the astronaut, you can see a reflection of the other astronaut, but he doesn't have a camera, he's not taking the picture. There's only two astronauts. So the conclusion is that the people who live on the moon became so ecstatic that they took pictures. And sent them back to Earth, so. So all this is all part of materialistic, you know, mechanistic science. Why? Because if there's spirit, then the so-called, the demons who are trying to control people, why would people listen to them? Because they're fools. They're just another spirit. But they're claiming they're powerful, that everything's matter and they're a powerful matter. They have powerful matter. It's ridiculous. They're all fools. And the people who follow them, they're also fools. But they've been trained up as fools. From their brainwashed, I mean, these schools are just institutions, probably call them slaughterhouses, to condition people to believe that there's nothing beyond matter, to destroy religion, or to pervert it in such a way as that even in the churches, they teach, even the church, even the Catholic schools, they teach evolution. They're so fools. Darwin, who never proved anything, except the fact that people are fools, he couldn't explain anything. He couldn't explain, he said that right now, we've dug into, the, you know, we know that there are missing links. There are links between the species, but we just haven't investigated. And 100 years later, after investigating, digging up the earth, looking for the missing links, they can't find anything. Still, they blindly follow Darwin, they claim, or they come up with some other crazy theory. Darwin said one of the things that really disturbed him was the eye, because it's so complicated that if you take one part of it away from the eye, it doesn't work. So how did it suddenly evolve? From what? Because if it's caused, the idea is Lamarckian theory, adaptation of the species, and if you take any part of the eye away, it's actually detrimental. It doesn't work anymore. So there's no cause for adaptation for something that's useless. There's no advantage in the species to have some appendix that doesn't work. And it only works when all the parts are together. So Darwin said, this is not very good for my theory. So the best way they can handle the things that don't fit into the theory is they just ignore it. And if you ask them a question about it, they just ignore it. Next question. Because they have no answer. The only answer is that they get paid for teaching nonsense. And therefore they keep on teaching nonsense. Not because it's knowledge, it's ignorance. But it feeds their empty stomach. So that's the knowledge that they have, is how to feed their empty stomach. So the conclusion is that matter and spirit are different, although they both come from the supreme source, Aparayan, Etam Yoni Bhutani Sarvaniti Padarya Aham Krishnasya Prabhava Prabhavas Pralayas Tata. That all these, both this matter and spirit, Krishna says, of all that is material and all that is spiritual, know for certain that I am both its origin and dissolution. So the Supreme Intelligence, who is the source of both the material energy and the spiritual energy. If we're conscious, then the Supreme Person must be conscious too. Otherwise, how do we become conscious? Did you ever see from a pillar, from the floor, some conscious living entity comes? He's sitting on the floor and suddenly, you know, someone pops out of the floor. Or you step on the floor and it says, ouch, you know. Don't step so hard, you know. You kick me. I'm going to tell my mother. She's over there. She's another board on the floor. She'll get really upset. She'll pop up and hit you. No, it's unconscious. So only from conscious living entities, other conscious living entities come. From floors, nothing comes. So therefore we can understand if our fathers were conscious and our mothers were conscious and our great-great-grandparents were conscious, then the original person which everything comes from must also become conscious. Otherwise, where did the consciousness come from? But this simple fact, they simply deny, because otherwise they can't try to become God. And the only way that they can identify themselves as God is to lord it over the other stupid people. Control them by ignorance. And then they have this feeling that they're actually the God. They're controlling things. By my mercy you're alive. And by my mercy you die. Then they think they're God. But they haven't created anything. They can't even create one grain of sand. And yet they're just hallucinating, that they're imagining that there is some kind of God. And other people are acknowledging, oh yes, you're God, please save me. Give me a loan from your bank and I'll surrender to you. So Bhagavatam has the answer. And outside of the Bhagavatam, it's just simply foolishness. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes. Anyone want to take the part of the materialist?
Hare Krishna. No, but the point is, if all this society is brainwashed with these ideas and they are very serious about pushing these ideas and we are, I mean, we're just a few people and we're not so serious. What's the chance of doing something?
Well, you're here. It's something. We're all here and at least something's going on. If you light a match, Prabhupada said, in the dark room, the darkness can't put the match out. So what's the chance? We're not the doers of the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We just try to become an instrument. But we're not trying to say something very complicated. It's very simple. Your body's changing, but you're not changing. And though, maybe if one other person in the world understands it, then our mission is successful. After all, whether they believe it or not, they are eternal. They may be where they're going to be in the next lifetime. That's unknown unless that will differ according to their activities in this lifetime. But even if we can convince one person to take up Krishna consciousness, then our mission is successful. Imagine if someone said, someone lost their children in the forest, and they found one child. They said, well, we found the best child, we don't need the other ones. We got the good child. No, they keep on looking until they got all the children. It may take some time, but they keep on looking. So we can find one child, and then we have to try, do the best we can. That's why we're here. And Krishna will appreciate it at least. No one else may appreciate it, but if Krishna appreciates, then our life is successful. Anything else? Kala Granta Rashimad Bhagavatam Kijai.